And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville. We're Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden. We're parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure, covering down on some conservative ground. Well, I tell you what, We have talked about elections ad nauseum. I feel like that's all we've talked about for the last, like, week. But I think it's time, Boomer. I think, brother, I'm going there. I'm doing diesel fumes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I've been getting a razzing from this. I mean, even my lovely Charlene texted in and goes, listen, you got to do diesel fumes today. You got to get it done. I'm like, come on, baby. Actually, she didn't have that low guttural voice like that. She didn't go like that. But she just, you know, in her very sweet fashion, say, get it done. So I'm trying to get it done today. I need to, though. It's an important topic. And listen, here's the deal. This is a clear example of the fact that for the next 2 years, we have got to have some semblance of a majority in place to help stymie some of the ridiculous green energy policies that are being foisted on us through Congress. There's got to be some measure of the capability of conservatism to come back into play, especially when it comes to energy production. Even if we can't countermand an executive order, even if we can't change a budgetary line item through sheer force of will, we can have the strength of negotiation. That's important. We can also have the strength of accountability, like where we call in Secretary Granholm, Department of Energy, or Secretary Buttigieg, Department of Transportation, and make them sit there on the public dime and say why they're doing what they're doing and how we're going to fix it. And if they don't have a plan, call them out for that too. I mean, you may remember, and I got a story here from the Post Millennials, it's only a couple of days old. Biden makes a cavalier promise to destroy all coal jobs in the U.S. He did, just last week. I mean, I really thought it was one of those things that was going to just ransack the possibilities of Fetterman getting elected in Pennsylvania, but I guess they don't care about their coal in Pennsylvania. Speaking at a political event aimed to promote his economic policies in California on Friday, President Joe Biden promised to permanently end coal production in the United States. It's what he said. Here's the actual quote. No one's building new coal plants because they can't rely on it, even if they have all the coal guaranteed for the rest of the existence of the planet. We're going to be shutting these plants down across America and having wind and solar power. You see, it's that kind of attitude, though, that has gotten us where we are when it comes to diesel. Make no mistake, if you're not one of those who drives on diesel or farms on diesel, don't think for a second, though, it doesn't truly impact your economy. So story here from Gatestone Institute. I pulled this off. Biden's diesel fuel shortage, cold comfort. He leads off, and I thought this was interesting. He says, during World War II, the Allies' aerial assault on the Nazis did not begin to have strategic means to bring the enemy to its knees until Germany's oil reserves were destroyed, and it was unable to refuel its tanks. And then, as now, destroying the energy infrastructure of an adversary can bring about the destruction of a nation, and America's current enemies have not forgotten that historic lesson. Ooh, I hate hearing that. But anyway, he said, which is why Americans should view with alarm the unconscionable news reported by industry analysts that we are facing a severe shortage of diesel fuel this winter. Now, what does it mean? I mean, it goes on to say that we're at, like severely low. I double-checked since this segment has been sitting on my desk here in the studio now for like 4 days. I checked to make sure that we are still in the same position, and roughly we are. Now, what does it mean for us, though? Here's the thing. Should we be at this low? No, we shouldn't. Is it a part of Biden's energy policies? Yes, it is. Is it also a combination of supply chain gaffes? Yes. Do we know whether we have a Department of Transportation that is working on the issues related to things like the Mississippi River is in a drought, so some barges are having to divert to rail? And, by the way, trucking? Well, DOT, you think you wouldn't have an answer to that. I'm not sure that Buttigieg has an answer to that. Reuters has a story dated right at 3.5 weeks ago. Diesel's gloomy message for the global economy. Says global shortages of middle distillates such as diesel, gas oil, and heating oil are intensifying rather than easing, making it more likely a relatively severe slowdown in the business cycle will be necessary to rebalance the market. U.S. inventories of distillate fuel oil depleted to 106 million barrels on October 7th, the lowest seasonal level since the government began collecting that data in 1982. Oh, not good. But AL.com, and by the way, so if you're looking for liberal Alabama-related news, you're going to go to AL.com, just saying. If you want something more conservative, you're going to go to 1819 or Yellowhammer. If you want something that kind of runs the middle of the road, you're going to find AL Daily News. But AL.com has a piece written by Bill Thornton. He's a good dude. I know Bill and his wife, Donna. They're nice people. He says, the headline is there a diesel fuel shortage coming? Are we going to run out? Bill Thornton says, things like global pandemic, universal lockdowns, toilet paper shortages, running out of meat, coins growing scarcer, soaring gas prices. Americans have gotten used to a lot of scary headlines. And the latest is a story circulating, he says, on social media. It's not on social media, Bill. It's in the mainstream media. That the country has about 25 days supply of diesel fuel left. This is November 3rd, so just about 6 days ago. The doom-laden deadline of 25 days, however, he says, stems from a report last month from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, which estimated the country had 25.9 days of diesel fuel on hand. He says, that does not mean what you think it does. Okay, then what does it mean, pray tell? Well, what he's saying is that's the reserve. It doesn't mean they're not also creating more as they go. It's saying the reserve dipped down that far. Okay, I get it. Still not where it's supposed to be. He points out that market logistics firm Mansfield Energy says, it's worth clarifying that 25 days of supply does not mean the U.S. will run out of diesel. The most likely scenario is higher prices, with some sporadic local outages here and there that get filled in by surrounding markets. He says 3 years ago, the U.S. dipped to 26 days of supply. Normally this time of year, the supply would be around 35 to 40. So that's the point. Do I think we're going to run out? What I'm reading tells me no. Do I think that it should be where it is? Well, what I'm reading tells me no. It shouldn't be where it is right now. It is the Biden energy policies and the lack of a cohesive all-of-government plan by Department of Energy and Department of Transportation to address it, because they're so focused on, I mean, Buttigieg is out there giving speeches about racist roads we're going to fix. Yay. And Granholm laughs when you ask her, what is your plan for energy independence? And she just laughs. At the same time, our nation runs on diesel. So, by the way, I went to trucker.com. That's right. One of the trucking industry's periodicals. They've got a story that came out just, when did the story come out? Just came out 2 days ago. Headline, though constrained, the nation's diesel fuel supply is not in danger of drying up, experts say. Okay. These are the folks that run on diesel. I'm pretty sure they're not going to be putting out a narrative that tells their people something that they don't see at the pumps every day. So I trust that this has got some level of credence to it. The quote in this article that got my attention, poor pipeline shipping economics and historically low diesel inventories are combining to cause shortages in various markets throughout the Southeast. These have been occurring sporadically, with areas like Tennessee seeing particularly acute challenges. All right, Tennessee to our north, but did you know that we are also in a code red here in Alabama? Code red, what does that mean? Isn't that from like, Boomer, what was that movie? A Few Good Men, is that what it was? What was the movie? Yeah, You Can't Handle the Truth. I think that was A Few Good Men, wasn't it? Yeah, and they had a code red. That's what the whole movie, you ordered the code red. You need me on that wall. And there was some, that's the movie, wasn't it? A Few Good Men? Yeah. That was a total rabbit trail. Sorry about that. Boomer's looking at me like, okay, I'm looking it up for you, but it has nothing to do with diesel fuel. Except when you look at Heartland News, dated November 1st. Analysts say diesel supply shortage in southeastern states could become more of a challenge. See, here's the point. Do I think we're going to run out? No. Should we be here? No. It is the policies of this administration that put us in the position of having diesel fuel cost more and have sporadic outages, and have the southeastern states be in what they call a code red because we're the ones most impacted by a supply chain disruption. says that the same company, Mansfield, the one that AL.com kind of went, well, they didn't say it was going to be too bad. Well, Mansfield moved to alert level 4 to address market volatility and put a code red in the southeast, which means their company is now requesting 72-hour notice for deliveries. Well, 72-hour notice for deliveries? That's okay. Anyway, the code red applies to Maryland, Virginia, North and South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee. They went on to say, poor pipeline shipping economics and historically low diesel inventories are combining to cause shortages in various markets throughout the southeast, according to the alert. These have been occurring sporadically, with areas like Tennessee seeing particularly acute challenges. At times, carriers are having to visit multiple terminals to find their supply, which delays delivery and strains local trucking. The notice follows an October fuels report from the U.S. Energy Information that showed diesel fuel inventories on the coast at 45% below the five-year average. So when you say 25 days, does it mean that in 25 days we're done, we're cooked? No, it means that if you had to live off your savings account, you could say, I've only got 1 month in savings, but I've still got a job with a paycheck. That's what we're looking at. We're still trying to manufacture, but we've had refineries on annual maintenance, which they do in the fall. At the same time, we've had, you know, volatility related to the war in Ukraine. It's true. There is some of that because we put sanctions on Russia. We don't receive their imports. We don't have energy independence right now. And we've also had a major refinery fire, I believe it was, in Pennsylvania, I think. And then on top of that, you got the drought in the Mississippi River causing some shipping to be converted over to off of barging and over into trucking and rail. Then you got a potential rail strike that's still out there pending because two of the major unions have decided not to engage the Department of Labor's recommendation plan. And then you got a Department of Energy and a Department of Transportation that are so focused on green energy that they could care less that we're paying $5.30 a gallon or more for diesel. So yeah, it's a problem. When we get back from this break, I'm going to kind of wrap that up. But the end result of this is, yeah, we're kind of on diesel fumes right now, which is why I called it. Are we going to run out? No. Should we be short right now? Heck no. It's part of what we got to deal with for the next couple of years until we can get a change in administration. I'm praying for that. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. I got to tell you real quick before we go. I mean, it's go-home time. Some of y'all need to soothe your political angst, by the way. Maybe stop for a meal or a cup of cappuccino. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations in our listening area. Hughes Road in Madison, South Parkway in Huntsville. And me personally, I love both locations. They're easy to get to. They're convenient. The food is good. I'm talking like, wow, don't even mess up the dishes tonight, man. Just go ahead and go get you something, a sandwich, a wrap, a salad. Get breakfast for dinner tonight. You deserve a womlet. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, just check it out. It's so worth doing. And I love the fact that they have set this place up, not just to sell stuff, but to give you an environment. I Just Love Coffee is just good at that. So Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, out by City Hall, and South Parkway in Huntsville, over there towards Whole Foods. All right, there's that. Let me jump. Is that Jeff from Indiana? Jeff from Indiana, I'm doing diesel fumes, brother. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I was running on diesel fumes a little bit ago, and I fueled up.
what are you seeing out there? Are you seeing any shortage? You drive through the red alert areas. What do you think?
There's no shortage or anything, but there's a real big fluctuation in prices a lot of the time. I just filled up at Cornersville, Tennessee, and it was $5.50 a gallon there.
$5.50?
Yeah, $5.50. And I'm getting less fuel miles now because of the winter blend, because I have been fueling up at Priceville, Alabama. And I've got a 100-gallon tank, and I usually can make a round trip on that. I filled up there last night, and today I had to go to the 22 in the bomb marker in the Tennessee because I didn't have enough to make it down there yet.
Wow. I mean,
so when less fuel mileage now.
We say the winter blend, what do they blend up the ethanol? I mean, what's the deal?
Kerosene, I guess, or they, you know, it's anti-gel, basically.
Okay, because the cold weather, they're keeping it from. Yeah, I got you. But wow, so that reduces your mileage too. That's great. So prices go up and mileage goes down. That's wonderful. What a great combination.
Yeah, and then with all these pollution things on here and everything, see, this thing has to regenerate and throw diesel fuel into the Cadillac converter basically every so often, and so it burns fuel like that too.
Well, okay. Have you heard anything in your industry, though? Let me ask you this. Have you heard anything in your industry where people are finding they go to the pump and it's dry?
No, not so far and everything. Just like I say, the prices are going. It's like everything else, you know. I don't think we're going to have any problem getting fuel. It's just the prices are going to skyrocket probably. And that's okay because, you know, I'd like to see prices get $10, $12, $13 a gallon, you know, so we can come electric trucks and all this stuff so we can plug in. And I mean, the people are getting what they voted for now, so we might as well, you know, in my theory is, you know, what we have is a Democratic is what happened yesterday. These people are addicted to government money, and they won't let go of it. And just like any other addict, they're going to have to, this country is going to have to fall on its face and hit rock bottom so that we can come up from the ashes.
Ah, oh, God, Jeff, come on, man.
I know you hate to hear, I hate to hear that.
Come on with your 5 p.m. buzzkill, brother.
I know, but you've seen what happened. And if we can't have a red wave in the Biden era, when are we going to have it? You know, because these people are brainwashed. These are people that probably need to be institutionalized because they're not probably smart enough to carry out their lives.
Yeah, I tell you what I'm going to be interested to see. I don't disagree with that. I tell you what I'm going to be interested to see is I've not had a chance to review the down ballot. Like Florida, all the way down into the state legislatures and others, they went red, 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 and it just went great. We're hearing like places like South Dakota, Kristi Noem, it went great. I want to see what happened down ballot. Was it the upside of the ballot where people split their votes, or did we see some places where there was like truly amazing things happening that we're going to see governors and state legislatures become the true firewall against bad woke policies from D.C.
Yeah, I don't know, but the Republicans are going to have to come to the front, and when they get some power here, they're going to have to start we're just going to have to start doing like the Democrats do. We're just going to have to start lying every breath we draw because people believe, because, I mean, that's what got them in there. I mean, democracy was on the ballot and all this stuff and everything. How many people believe that? Well, apparently enough to believe that they voted Democrat.
Okay. All right. Jeff from Indiana, you're on timeout right now.
Oh, come on. can't you handle the truth, Phil?
You know what? I said it earlier on the show. I'm a pragmatic optimist. I can see things, call it what it is, and still find what I need to work with that came out of it. So in the end, brother, I'll be honest with you. We ain't going to start lying. We're going to keep telling the truth because apparently in Florida that worked. And it just requires leadership. That's what we got. We got to have some – I mean, it's time for Mitch McConnell to go. It's time for some fresh blood to come in there and go, all right, let's galvanize the base. Here we go. And we have not had that. The Republicans are horrible at messaging, and we've got to get better at that.
Exactly. Jim Jordan for House Speaker.
I'm for it.
All the way.
I'm for it. What have I got to do? I'll do it. I'm
exactly.
For it.
And Phil Williams for our maybe you need to run for president sometime here for
Oh, listen, man. I just want to keep expanding this talk show. Hey, brother, my music's playing. You be safe on the road, Jeff. We love you. You take care, all right? All right, folks. Listen, tomorrow, more stuff. You guys keep your chin up. Remember, I said it earlier in the show, we got to go neck deep. That's what it's going to take. Tread water as long as you have to. Shape the operations. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Boomer and I back tomorrow, too. We'll see you then.